ಸ್ವಸ್ಯ ಬಹುಭೀ ಪರೋಕ್ಷೇರ್ಹಾಯ ನಿರ್ಇಹ ವರಂ ಮುಹೂರ್ತಂ ವಿದಿತಂ ಘಟತೇ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಯತಃ ಕಿಂ ಪ್ರಮತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಬಹುಭಿಃ ಪರೋಕ್ಷೇರ್ಹಾಯ ನಿರ್ಇಹ ವರಂ ಮುಹೂರ್ತಂ ವಿದಿತಂ ಘಟತೇ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಯತಃ ಕಿಂ ಪ್ರಮತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಬಹುಭಿಃ ಪರೋಕ್ಷೇರ್ಹಾಯ ನಿರ್ಇಹ ವರಂ ಮುಹೂರ್ತಂ ವಿದಿತಂ ಘಟತೇ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಯತಃ Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after His supreme interest. Purport: Srila Sukhdev Goswami instructed Maharaj Parikshit about the importance of the chanting of the holy names of Lord by every progressive gentleman. In order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life, Srila Sukhdev Goswami asserted that there is no use in living 100 of years without any knowledge of the problems of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of life is eternal with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world and are engaged in animal propensities of the eat, drink and be merry type of life are simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of the valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success, and the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy names of the Lord. In the previous verse, we have discussed this point to a certain extent, and we may further be enlightened on the different types of offenses committed unto the feet of the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported the statements in the matter of offenses at the feet of the holy name. From Vishnu Yamala Tantra, Srila Jiva Goswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effects of all sins simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Quoting from the Markandeya Puran, Sri Goswami Ji says that one should neither blaspheme the devotees of the Lord nor indulge in hearing others who are engaged in belittling a devotee of the Lord. A devotee should try to restrict a vilifier by cutting out his tongue, and being unable to do so, one should commit suicide rather than hear the blaspheming of the devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one should neither hear nor allow vilification of the devotee of the Lord. As far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name from the names of the demigods, the revealed scriptures disclose, Bhagavad Gita 10.41, that all extraordinarily powerful beings are but part and parcels of the supreme energetic Lord Krishna. Except for the Lord himself, everyone is subordinate, no one is independent of the Lord. Since no one is more powerful or equal to the energy of the supreme Lord, no one's name can be as powerful as that of the Lord. By chanting the Lord's name, by chanting the Lord's holy name, one can derive all the stipulated energies synchronized from all sources. Therefore, one should not equalize the supreme holy name of the Lord with any other name. Brahma, Shiva, or any other powerful god can never be equal to the supreme Lord Vishnu. The powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from the sinful effects, but one who desires to utilize this transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded person in the world. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord. One should therefore utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to a prolonged life of ignorance. Like the lives of the tree and other living entities who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting spiritual advancement. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tansajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Garoti Vachalam Bhangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna. Translation once again. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Hare Krishna. Seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here and present online. I can speak something worthwhile, although quite unprepared for this class. So, these are the initial very important verses spoken by Srila Shukdev Goswami. Shukdev Goswami is the main speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this chapter marks the beginning of Srila Shukdev Goswami's speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. And as a genuine sadhu, a nature of a sadhu is to cut through the thick, dark layers of ignorance, cut the strong attachments or what we call as Vidaya Granthis which are there within our heart. And here we see right at the beginning, right at the onset of the second canto, when Shukdev Goswami begins to speak like a genuine sadhu, he's cutting through the harsh realities and giving Parikshit Maharaj a very, very clear picture of what truth is. So, this series of verses actually were spoken by Shukdev Goswami for a purpose. Although Shukdev Goswami's words are very candid, cutting, and very crystal clear, to a normal conditioned living entity, it may appear to be very harsh, it may appear to be very brutal, or it may appear to be very blatantly gruesome sometimes. Because he's been very straightforward right at the beginning. He's not beating around the bush, but no, he is just directly banging on the target because he knows that Parikshit Maharaj has only 7 days in hand. And within those 7 days, he has a great responsibility of helping Parikshit Maharaj perfect his life. Inspire Parikshit Maharaj to perfect his life in 7 days itself. So these initial verses of the second canto, first chapter, brings out the genius of Shukdev Goswami, where he is explaining the entire essence of Srimad Bhagavatam within these few verses. The entire teaching of Bhagavatam is mentioned in these first 15 verses. Just as Prabhupada was not sure whether he will be able to continue his life further because he was already 70 plus and he had very less time on hand. Prabhupada, he, whatever he wanted to share with the whole world, he gave everything in the first canto purports. So the entire 12 cantos teachings of Bhagavatam we will get in first canto itself. Because Prabhupada knew that I may not be able to probably reach till the end. I have less time on hand. Or else, even if I complete all the 12 cantos, there are people who may not have time to even reach to 12 cantos. So even if they reach, even if they read the first canto itself will give them the entire summary of the 12 cantos. Of course, that doesn't mean that we don't read all the 12 cantos. But the point here is, Shukdev Goswami, he also is so genius that he is giving the entire essence, the entire summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in this first 15 verses. And what is the summary that he gives? We can summarize in 5 P's. Shukdev Goswami, he is speaking about the purpose of life in these first 15 verses. What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of any path that we follow? And there he comes up with the beautiful words which we discussed in the previous, few days before. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Bhyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. So what is the purpose of life? Ultimately is to remember Narayan at the end of one's life. Second P is Shukdev Goswami is telling, okay, if this is the purpose, then what's the path to attain that purpose? So then he comes up with a beautiful word that yes, bhakti is the only way. So in this few verses that we have discussed till now, he comes up with this beautiful verse, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. Where the path of bhakti is the safest, simplest, smoothest, and the surest way to attain the Supreme. So this is the second P that he's explaining. The first is purpose. Second is path. The third is even within the path of bhakti, there may be many different understanding. Okay, what should we do exactly when it comes to performing bhakti? So then he gives a specific process. And the process is the chanting of the holy names. And if you, for those who have read Bhagavatam, chanting of the holy names is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukdev Goswami is presenting the conclusion of Bhagavatam right at the beginning of Bhagavatam. What is the conclusion, the last concluding verse of Bhagavatam? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harimparam. Chanting of the holy name, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, is the way, surest way to eradicate one's sins. So that same conclusion is spoken right at the beginning in the verse. Yogi nam api nirnitam harer namanu kirtanam. Shukdev Goswami is speaking the same truth right at the beginning, so that even if we can't reach to the 12th canto, at least we know what's the sum and substance of Bhagavatam. So the first thing that he spoke was purpose, second is path, third is a specific process, that is the chanting of the holy name. Fourth, what is the result of following that process? And that is perfection. And that's how Shukdev Goswami comes up with this beautiful verse that we discussed a few days back. Tadaham te abhidhasyami mahapaurushiko bhavan yasya shraddhadana ashu syan mukunder mati sati. What will be the result of following this path and process? Syan mukunde rati sati. One will develop a strong, unflinching faith in Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation. And this has been the recurrent theme in Bhagavatam. The great acharyas, the great devotees of the Lord has prayed for this one thing. Let my mati become sati. Bhishma Dev, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, he begins his prayers by telling, Iti matir upakalpita vitrishna bhagavati sattvate pungave vibhumni. Where he is also telling, my dear Lord, I have only one thing to offer to you, and that is my mati. Let this mati, let this intelligence become chaste, where it doesn't leave anyone, it doesn't leave your lotus feet and go to someone else. Even Kunti Devi is praying the same thing. Twai me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrid ratim udvatam adha gange ogham udanvati. That my dear Lord, let my mati actually develop that rati unto your lotus feet. So the great personalities, no, they resound, they echo the same, the essence which Shukdev Goswami is saying, that the result of practicing this process will be perfection, where we will develop rati towards the Supreme Lord Mukunda. So these are the four things that Shukdev Goswami has spoken right at the beginning. The purpose of life, the path to attain, specific process to attain that perfection, and what will be the result of following that process is, developing Mukunda, Mati Sati. And the fifth thing that Shukdev Goswami is speaking in this first 15 verse, he is speaking about the fifth P, that is prime importance of time. Shukdev Goswami is telling that, okay, we have to follow a path, we have to follow a process, and the result will definitely be perfection. But we have a long way to go and we have a very short time. How are we going to perfect our lives in such a short time that we have? So there he comes up with the beautiful verses right at the beginning. No, he says, most of the people in this world have hundreds of things to discuss, hundreds of topics to discuss. నిద్రయా నియతే నక్తం వ్యవాయన చ వావయ దీవాచార్తే హయా రాజన్ కుటుంబ భరణేన వా. మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద పీపుల్ దే వేస్ట్ ఆర్ ప్రాబబ్లీ దే హ్యావ్ నో అదర్ చాయిస్ బట్ టు ఎంగేజ్ దర్ టైమ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ఫోర్ థింగ్స్. Our time is very much squandered or taken away by these four things. What is that? He says 4G. He says first gossip. Gossip takes away a lot of our time. Social media is a wonderful medium to present unlimited gossip. He spoke that 5,000 years back. First is gossip. Second is gada mazuri. Everyone has to slog in this world no matter who we are. There is no other choice. Life is a struggle. And in order for us to just keep ourselves floating, we just have to struggle. So he says constantly, Diva Charte Haya Rajan, we have to work hard. So first is gossip, second is Gadha Majuri, third is gratification. Our lot of our time just goes in gratifying our mind and senses. And the fourth G, he says, is good sleep. A lot of our time is just squandered in sleeping. Practically, Prahlad Maharaj says, if we are living, if we have a 24 hours in a day, at least nowadays, 10 to 12 hours goes in sleeping or daydreaming, if not sleeping. So practically, of the 24 hours, 12 hours gone. So half of your lifespan is gone. So a lot of our time just gets carried away, gets squandered with a good sleep. And yes, we all know that we need sleep. We have no other choice. But Shukdev Goswami is telling most of the people in this world, they are stuck with these four things. And that takes away most of our time. But he says, Shukdev Goswami tells to Parikshit Maharaj, Rajan, a genuine seeker will value the greatest gift of God, that is time. He's telling Parikshit Maharaj, you may not have anything with you right now because you have given up everything. Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashudravana Bandushu Rajya Javikala Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho. You have given up all these eight forms of attachment. You may not have anything with you at this point of time, but you have one thing for sure with you, and that is you have 7 days in hand. And within those 7 days, what not can you do? You can perfect your life. These 7 days will actually determine your future, O Rajan. So you haven't lost anything, because this, by utilizing these 7 days properly, this time factor will reward you more than what this world can offer. That's why. And then he says, why 7 days, O Rajan? Even 7 days is not required to perfect your life. Even a moment is enough to become Krishna conscious. And if one moment is, if we can sincerely become Krishna conscious, even for a moment, it is far more better than living for hundreds and hundreds of years. So Shukdev Goswami's genius is brought out here where, he's inspiring Parikshit Maharaj by telling, okay, you have 7 days on hand, not an issue. You don't have to think that I have to live for so many years to perfect my life. Even 7 days are enough. What to speak of 7 days? This verse says, Kim pramattasya bahubi parokshir hayaneriha. What is the use of living such a prolonged life? If we can develop a moment of good consciousness, we can develop that Krishna consciousness. That is enough to perfect one's life. The next verse that we will be discussing tomorrow, Shukdev Goswami gives the example of Katwanga Maharaj. All of a sudden, he came to know that he's going to die within next moment. And that one moment was enough for him to become Krishna conscious and perfect his life. So this verse that we are discussing today actually is bringing out a very important universal theme. Shukdev Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, if you want to live a life Live a life of quality and not quantity. Go for quality, go for substance, go for depth and not a shallow lifestyle. Adding years to our life may be important, but adding life to our years is far more important. Medical science is adding years to our life, but, O Rajan, Krishna consciousness is adding life to our years. So, and we all know, living in this world where quantity is so much emphasized and glamorized over quality, where person is truly known by how many cars he possesses, how many estate, how many bank balance, bank account, how many mobile, how many extramarital affairs a person has, that determines how great that person is. That's what this world focuses on more. In contrast to that, Shukdev Goswami is focusing, he's telling that life is not about number game. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't really believe so much in number game as much as it believes more in the authenticity and substance in living. So yes, how many subscribers I have on YouTube, or how many followers I have on Insta, or how many friends I have on Facebook, that determines the success in today's day and age. Shukdev Goswami is saying, don't go on numbers. What is the use of so many numbers if we miss out on this one aspect of becoming Krishna consciousness? So Shukdev Goswami is telling here, how many years we live in this world is not as important as how we live, how much ever we live. Just as in a book or a novel becomes the best selling book or a novel, not based on number of pages. A book or a novel becomes a best seller in the world outside, not based on the number of pages or how thick it is, but the book becomes famous or bestseller based on the content. If the content is brilliant, even if that book may be a thin cover or a thin page. If the content is brilliant, automatically that book will sell. Similarly, the content of our life is more, actually the content of our life will determine the level of contentment. It's not the quantity, but it's the content. It's not the quantity, but it's the quality. And just as the content of any particular book will determine the success of that book, similarly, the content of our life will truly determine the success of our life. You know, when we are into cooking something on a large scale, it is such a challenge to cook in a big quantum. And a bigger challenge is to maintain the standard and the quality of that cooking when we are cooking in such a bulk scale. So yes, quality, a quantity, sometimes we have no other choice but to make such a huge quantity of prasad. But what we have to focus more is not just on the quantity, but also on the quality. I mean, I remember many times during festivals, so much bhoga is offered to the Lord. And every bhoga appears to be so attractive. And when we go close to that bhoga and that bhoga appears to be so attractive, we just pick up that bhoga thinking, oh, it's going to be so tasty as well. But moment we taste it, we regret, oh my God, why did I take this? And the next thought that comes in our mind is, I have to look for someone whom I can pass on this bhoga to. And if we meet a person, we tell Prabhu, Mahaprasad, lenge kya? And a person, the opposite person doesn't know, what is upcoming. And this person, oh my Prabhu, you are so merciful. And this person will taste it and he will say, oh my God, what am I tasting? So many times externally, things may be very attractive, deceptive, unless or until we taste and we realize, oh my God, the quality is not that great here. Of course, that doesn't mean that tomorrow if someone offers us Mahaprasad, we start thinking, arey, dal mein kuch kala hai, isne Mahaprasad kyun diya mujhe? That's not the purpose what we are discussing. Our point is, sometimes it may so happen that when it comes to a mass cooking or making so many varieties of bhoga, there could be a compromise in the quality as well. And Krishna is so merciful, we may reject the inferior quality. Krishna is so merciful that he even accepts a less inferior, mediocre quality, food that is offered to him. So, that's the whole gist of this today's verse where Shukdev Goswami is telling, Rajan, even if you have one 2000 rupee note, that is far more valuable than having 110 rupees note. You may live for so many years, but that's not what really count. So what truly makes our life meaningful is not how many years we live, but how purposeful we live. I came across this nice statement, a nice conversation between an ocean and a small stream of water. दरिया ने झरने से कहा दरिया ने झरने से कहा क्या तुम्हें समुंदर नहीं बनना है ओशन आस्क्ड द स्मॉल स्ट्रीम ऑफ वाटर डोंट यू वांट टू बिकम ओशन दरिया ने झरने से पूछा तुझे समुंदर नहीं बनना है क्या झरने ने बड़ी विनम्रता से उत्तर दिया बड़ा बनकर खारा हो जाने से तो अच्छा है कि छोटा रहकर मीठा ही रहूं सो यस व्हाट इज द यूज ऑफ बिकमिंग सो बिग व्हाट इज द पॉइंट ऑफ लिविंग सच अ लॉन्ग लाइफ इफ वी मिस आउट ऑन लिविंग अ पर्पसफुल लाइफ एज दे से बड़ा हुआ तो क्या हुआ जैसे पेड़ खजूर पंछी को छाया नहीं फल लगे अति दूर Yes, of course, even that long tree has a purpose and it gives a lot of fruits. Even the ocean has a purpose, although it's salty, no doubt. But Shukdev Goswami also gives the example, Tarava kim na jivanti, Vastrika kim na swashantiyuta, kim khadanti, kim na mehanti, gramava pashabo pareve. And Prabhupada also gives the example of the trees here. So many trees, they live, they just stand. Keep standing for years together. So, we have also seen that so many personalities in the past have had a very short life. But even within that short life, they perfected their lives. Even within that short span of life that they live in this world, the impact that they created within that short span of life, that impact is still reverberating in the world today, even when they are gone. Jesus Christ, as they say, he lived for, there's no exact time span that they can calculate. They say that Jesus Christ lived in this world for somewhere between 33 to 38 years. Shankaracharya lived in this world for 32 years. Mirabai, a great devotee of Lord Krishna, lived on this planet Earth for 48 years. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in this world for 48 years only. Tukaram Maharaj lived in this world for 41 years only. The great, you know, personality, Guru Gobind Singh, we all know, one of the main gurus. He lived for only 41 years. But although these personalities, although they haven't lived long, but they may have not lived long, but they are remembered for a very long time, even today after they are gone. And there are people in this world who may have lived for a very long period of time, but no one recalls them while they are alive, what to speak when they are gone. One of the very dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Grace Jayanand Prabhu, lived on this planet Earth for only 38 years. But within that span of 38 years, he pleased his spiritual master to such a degree that Prabhupada mentioned that I am proud to have a disciple like Jayanand. If a spiritual master says this, what else? That's enough. Prabhupada wrote three letters to Jayanand Prabhu. The first letter that he wrote was when he got to know that Jayanand Prabhu has leukemia and is about to leave his body. In all these three letters, Prabhupada brings out the same theme that we are discussing today. Prabhupada is saying this body is finished today or tomorrow. We should not be very much bothered about this body, because trees also leaves for 1,000 years, but that does not mean a successful life. A successful life is one in Krishna consciousness. When Jayanand Prabhu left this planet Earth, Prabhupada wrote, I am feeling intense separation from you, O Jayananda. In 1967, you joined me in San Francisco. You were driving my car and chanting Hare Krishna. You were the first man to give me some contribution of $5,000 for printing my Bhagavad Gita. And after that, you have rendered very favorable service to Krishna in different ways. I so hope that at the time of your death, you were remembering Krishna. And definitely, you have been promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, Krishna has done a great favor to you, O Jayananda, not to continue a diseased body, and has given you a suitable place for your service in the abode of the Lord. So, and then when Prabhupada wrote a letter to Rameshwar Prabhu in 1977 about Jayanand Prabhu, Prabhupada wrote, Jayanand's death is glorious. He has left this body very wonderfully and he has been transferred to Vaikuntha. Everyone should follow the example of Jayanand Prabhu. I am very proud that I had such a nice disciple. And if possible, Jayanand Prabhu's picture should be hung in the Rath of Lord Jagannath. And in all the temples, a one day may be set aside for holding a festival in his honor. So yes, there are so many people who have lived for a short span of life. Bhagavatam doesn't condemn that, okay, why you are living so long? Bhagavatam doesn't say, okay, you have to live short only. You have to live a very brief span of life. No, Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami doesn't say that you have to die at early age. That's not the point. Even in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the sages of Naimisharanya are addressing Shaunak Rishi, They address Shaunak Rishi by telling tatra tatra anjas ayushman bhavata yad vinishchitam pumsam ekantata shreya tanna samshitum arhasi. They are addressing Suta Goswami as Ayushman. Ayushman means someone who has a very long life. So that same Bhagavatam which is telling what is the use of a prolonged life, that same Bhagavatam is not even condemning someone who is having a long life. So there is nothing wrong if we live long. Srila Prabhupada lived on this planet Earth for 84 years. I heard that Bilwa Mangal Thakur, or say Narasimha Mehta, who was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, lived on this planet for 79 years. Ramanujacharya lived on this planet Earth for 120 years. And I heard that someone was saying that Bilwa Mangal Thakur, because of his yogic mystic powers, he lived in Vrindavan for 700 years. So is it wrong to live long? Is it that Bhagavatam is condemning? If someone is living long, that person's life is doomed? No. It's not about living a short life or living a long life. Bhagavatam is saying, live a life full of substance. And not only that, Bhagavatam even tells what is that substance all about. Nehayat karma dharmaya naviragaya kalpate natirtha padasevyaya jivan api mrutopisa. Our work has to be so conducive that our work actually should lead, the karma should elevate us to dharma, and dharma should lead to detachment, and that detachment should lead us to the bhakti of the Supreme Lord. And if we can't follow this progression, then jivan api mrutopi sa, our life, we are actually living dead. That's what Bhagavatam is saying. So when we live this life, this will truly be the fulfillment of our existence. Whether we live long or whether we live short. I remember one of my relatives was 94 years old. And I just requested him, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? He said, the very fact that I am living for so many years actually proves that God has bestowed a great favor upon me. So I don't need to chant his name. Already mercy of the Lord is there with me. And I told him, just living long doesn't mean that, it's perfection. He couldn't chant the names of Krishna, unfortunately. And we see a small boy here, attending Mangala Arati. How many? 2 years, 3 years old boy. I think your son, Sridhama. He comes every day for Mangala Arati, and what is his routine while he is there for Mangala Arati? Radha Gopinath Temple Hall is the playing ground for him. What can be a better fortune than making Temple Hall a playing ground? He keeps running. Everyone is facing Radha Gopinath in the morning, and his daily routine, sometimes he's sleeping during Mangala Arati. But if he's awake, he's running from one end towards Prabhupada. He touches the feet of Prabhupada, and then he will come to Radha Gopinath. He will look at Radha Gopinath, and then again he will run to Prabhupada. One day, our Gaurvilas Prabhu was putting his attendance in the morning, and he saw that boy, that small child, with a big smile, touching the feet of Prabhupada. And Gaurvilas Prabhu is asking, "Arey, itna khush kyu hai re? Itne khush to hum bhi nahi hote jab Mangala Arati mein aate." And this boy looked at him and ran back. We were also surprised, "Yaar, itna subah subah khush." It's a struggle for us to really be joyful in attending Mangala Arati, but just see the fortune of this child. A 94-year-old man is not even able to chant the holy name, and here is this boy who is getting a chance to hear the holy name every single day. Whenever he is tired, he comes and sits here on the Vyasasam, practicing for the future. The whole point is, just see the gulf of difference. Of course, the credit goes to the parents who have, you know, who are training this child. Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtha pada sevyaya jivan api mrutopi sa. And we have seen in Bhagavatam, even the greatest of the personalities like Gajendra, although he was praying to the Lord, he did not pray for a long life. No, that was not his prayer when he was offering to Lord Vishnu. Most of the people, when they come in front of the Lord, they pray. This is the general prayer, and it's not bad. It's nothing wrong in praying for a long life. But what is Gajendra teaching us? Jiji vishena mihamuya kim antar bahischa vritaye bayunya ichami kale nanayasya viplavastasyatma lokavaranasya moksham. Gajendra, initially in his prayer to Lord Vishnu, he is praying to be released from this jaws of crocodile. But later on, as the prayer progresses, he is telling to Lord Vishnu, "My dear Lord, I don't even pray to be released from this jaws of crocodile. If you want to release me from this body only. Because today I am caught up in the jaws of crocodile. Even if I am relieved, even if I am released from the jaws of crocodile, tomorrow I will be caught in the jaws of corona. I will be caught in the jaws of cancer." So there is no guarantee that we may try our best to get relieved from certain type of ailment or misery. There is no guarantee we will not be caught in something else. Same with Parikshit Maharaj. In few words now, or from now, or in the previous verse, in the previous canto, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, "Tamopayantam pratyandu vipra ganga cha devi dhritachittam ishe dvijopasrishta kuvakastakshakova dashatyalam gayatha vishnugata." My dear Lord, I am not praying for a long life. All that I am praying is, let me live a life of substance, remembering you, let me live this body. And if we stretch this verse, no, this verse is telling what is the use of a prolonged life. Prabhupada would often quote, what is the use of having so many stars in the sky? One moon is enough to eliminate the darkness. Prabhupada would often quote this verse from Chanakya Niti, I think. Varam eka guni putro Varameko guni putro nacha murka shatanyapi ekas chandra tamohanti nacha tara sahastrashah. What is the use of having so many stars? Only one moon is enough. And then Prabhupada, he was giving a talk at New York. Brilliant talk. Prabhupada is saying, we don't want numerical strength. We want one sincere person who can learn to love God Krishna. That's all. I have come to your country with this mission. And if I find one or two boys or girls who have sincerely learned how to love God, my mission is successful. I am not after numbers. Because if I can turn one soul to Krishna consciousness, he will do tremendous work. Because that one soul will be like a moon. And then Prabhupada says that one moon is complete enough to drive away the darkness of the night. What is the use of these billions of stars? Prabhupada continues, by Krishna's mercy, Krishna has sent so many moons to me in the form of these wonderful young boys and girls. And by Krishna's grace, I don't have one moon, I have many moons. And I am convinced of this fact that in future, they will actually do wonderful service in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So yes, Prabhupada also focused, you know, equally balanced on the quantity as well as quality. Here in this, you know, in this conversation, Prabhupada is focusing on quality. One moon is enough. But we know that Prabhupada also focused on spreading the mission far out. Prabhupada said, if Krishna wants, Krishna can make this whole world Krishna conscious in 18 days. So Prabhupada wanted to reach out to the whole world. Prabhupada also focused on the quantity as well. But at intervals, Prabhupada really came up with this point, boil the milk. And at one incident, at one event, Prabhupada said that now we have got so many students, so many temples, I am fearful that if we expand too much in this way, we shall become weakened and gradually the whole thing will be lost. So Prabhupada balanced at both areas where he balanced not on the quantity as well as the quality. And this is the sign of a great leader who just doesn't focus on the quantity, but quality check is equally important. You know, good leaders focus on building massive organizations by quantitative process. I repeat, good leaders, they focus on building massive organizations based on quantitative process, but great leaders, they focus on deepening the organization by really deepening the quality of the people who join that organization. So in simple terms, good leaders, they focus on building the high-rise building or a skyscraper building. So the good leaders, they focus on building high-rise apartments. Great leaders, they focus also on the foundation, not just on building many, many stories. So yes, we need to focus on the foundation, which is like a quality, and also a high-rise apartment, which is like the quantity. So it is said that good leaders, they actually are interested in visible growth, but great leaders, they are interested in real growth. In the pursuit of numbers, good leaders settle for mediocrity. But in the pursuit of quality, great leaders settle only on excellence. And we have wonderful examples from Ramayana and from Mahabharata. When Dasharatha Maharaj was approached by Vishwamitra Muni that he is performing a great sacrifice and he needs the help, Dasharatha Maharaj promised Vishwamitra Muni that he will fulfill all his desires. You just tell and I am there to serve. Vishwamitra asked for one of the sons of Dasharatha. And Dasharatha Maharaj, he started thinking that, how can I give Lord Ram? That's not possible. He started bargaining with Vishwamitra Muni. And when he started bargaining, he is telling, you can take me along with, although I am the king, but I don't mind coming with you in the forest. And I don't even mind taking my entire sena. In spite of repeated petition done by Dasharatha Maharaj, Vishwamitra focused on one thing, and that is only one, and only one son that he wanted, and that is Ram. Vishwamitra focused on the quality because Vishwamitra identified the potential within that one personality, that is Ram. Vishwamitra is playing a role of a guru or a teacher who has seen the right potential within that one disciple of his. And Vishwamitra focused on training that one disciple, just as Dronacharya saw that potential within Arjuna and brought out the best within. So Dasharatha Maharaj is thinking that actually Vishwamitra needs help. But actually it was Vishwamitra who was doing a great favor to Dasharatha Maharaj by training Lord Ram, because that training eventually will be so essential for the entire future leadership of Ayodhya. And in Mahabharata, we all know the wonderful pastime that took place. Duryodhan and Arjuna both goes to Lord Krishna before the war began. And Lord Krishna asked Arjuna, "No, what do you want?" Arjuna had two choices. Arjuna had a choice between weaponless Krishna. Krishna, he said, "I can be there, but I won't lift any weapon." So Arjuna had a choice between weaponless Krishna, who wouldn't participate in the war, or a fully equipped Narayani Sena of Lord Krishna. And we all know Arjuna, without a second thought, chose one Krishna over many Narayani, the Sena, the army man. And when Duryodhan reached back to his own camp, Duryodhan told that we have the entire Narayani Sena with us, O Shakuni. Shakuni started beating his head. Shakuni was fully disappointed with the choice of his nephew, because Shakuni knew for sure that game changer is not the army, but the game changer is always the wisdom behind the army. Arjuna knew that Krishna has that wisdom. I may have a small sena, that's fine, but it is Krishna who has the wisdom, and he can change the entire game plan. So Vishwamitra decided to polish one raw diamond. Dronacharya decided to polish one raw diamond. And same that Arjuna decided to have only one person in his life, and that is Krishna. So the choice, the quality of our choice will determine the quantity of our progress. So never just run after the quantity, but focus on living a life of quality. And just to end, Ramayana presents one more beautiful example in this connection. Sugriva sent millions of monkey soldiers all across the globe, but Lord Ram identified only one person of those millions of soldiers. He identified only one, and that is Hanuman. And Lord Ram personally gave his ring to that one person. Above that, Lord Ram even, or only Lord Ram, he gave the description of his own wife Sita only to Hanuman and to no one else. So Hanuman was that chosen one. Lord Ram knew that, okay, there are millions of monkey soldiers, but if one person can really do it, that is Hanuman. And Acharyas explain what was that one qualification of Hanuman that made him so dear to Lord Ram. Our Acharyas tell it is discipline, the self-discipline of Hanuman. An individual's quality is determined by the quality of self-discipline. Our quality of contribution can be determined by the quality of our absorption. The quality of our absorption can be determined by the quality of our actions. And the quality of our actions can be determined by the quality of our character. And the quality of our character can be determined by the quality of the value system we learn in our life. So, as Shukdev Goswami is beautifully telling Parikshit Maharaj, that focus on the quality and not the quantity. Similarly, there could be an enormous growth of cells, a quantitative growth of cells within our body, but that may not be conducive for our body, because that quantitative growth may actually be a cancerous growth. Even one cell can really generate and give rise to many quality cells within our body. So it's actually impractical to just focus on the quantitative growth. So just to conclude, Rupa Goswami Pad in his Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says three things. He says that what is the eligibility of a person to begin Krishna consciousness? What is the eligibility of a person to advance in Krishna consciousness? And what is the eligibility of the person to make steady progress in Krishna consciousness? And in all the three things, he comes up with one thing, and that is quality. What is needed for us to begin our Krishna consciousness? He says, quality association of devotees. And that's where he comes up with Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Kanishtha Adhikari description. So he says, more we have connection with the Uttam Adhikari or the quality association of a devotee, we will begin our Krishna consciousness. What will help us advance more in Krishna consciousness? He says, quality knowledge. We have to acquire qualitative knowledge and not just quantitative knowledge. And then he says, quality chanting. It is the quality chanting which will lead to quantitative chanting eventually. So he says, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, it's quality chanting. If we have to begin Krishna consciousness, it's quality association. And third, finally, he says, if we want to sustain our practice in Krishna consciousness, then we have to upgrade the quality of our desires and our consciousness. More we upgrade the quality of our desire and consciousness, that will help us sustain on this path in long run. So quality association, quality chanting, and quality of intentions that we have within our heart. And especially he says, intention of only ananya bhakti and no other desire like bhukti or mukti. So for further details, you can read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar of Devotion, chapter number 3. With this, I'll just end this conclusion. Thank you so much for your kind patience and hearing. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.